Hey, Heather here. Designed to empower individuals to be their best self, the Ron Kitchens Always Forward Leadership Podcast brings fresh understanding to the issues today's leaders are facing and equips them with new perspectives and resources to lead forward. Welcome to today's conversation with Ron Kitchens and Brad Lominick.
Hey, thank you for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Ron Kitchens, and back with us following the Catalyst takeover.
It's good to be back.
Brad Lominick.
I am so refreshed. I feel like I've had lots of time on the river.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get back into this podcast, Ron.
All right. I'm glad to have
fall,
you back.
It's fall, football season. We got pumpkin spice latte at Starbucks. It's getting chilly here. Ron's wearing a blankie.
Hey. It's a very nice one, though. This was actually a blanket, was a wedding gift, which is...
It is a nice blanket.
26 years ago.
So to hit on the topic, diminishing fear in an organization wouldn't be necessarily something that you're having to think about a lot as the point leader.
No, I think you do have to think about it because people have fear of failure, fear of success. There's all kinds of fears in organizations that it's the leader's job to diminish. And, you know, it's fear of public speaking. You know, it's that old, everybody's seen the survey that said people's number one fear is public speaking and number two is dying, which means they'd rather be the body in the box than give the eulogy. So there are all kinds of fears that as a leader, you've got to diminish and create those safe places and have discussions. Doesn't mean everybody's going to get past it or be good at it. They just need to understand that failure or lack of success isn't a mortal wound.
So is the opposite of a fear-driven culture a place that's sort of the wild, wild west of, hey, do whatever you want?
No.
You control your own destiny. You're free. Is freedom the opposite of fear, I guess?
No, I think acknowledgement structure is. So this struck home for me early in my career. Just matter of fact, I graduated from college and I had a roundabout way to get through college and work. And I'd already been in business successfully, but the economy was horrible. And Lynn and I were trying to get married and I needed to get a real job because that was actually one of her father's conditions of me marrying his daughter. And so I was working at a company in the wholesale building materials business, and the boss created such anxiety. And he brought me in one day and said, now, if you're going to succeed here, you need to know that my management philosophy is to create maximum anxiety on a daily basis.
Wow.
And fear of getting fired. And every now and then, I want you to pick somebody out here and I want you to drive them. And if you have to fire them, it's okay because the others will fear you then.
Hello. Interesting.
And, yeah, I didn't last much longer there. Yeah, it was not where I wanted to work. But these were all really good men and women who worked there, but didn't have any other choices. I did. But I learned then I never wanted to be in an environment where fear is used as a weapon or fear is used to allow people to underachieve with their God-given talent. Now, I should have a fear of taking the floor on an NBA basketball game. I'm going to be humiliated.
Right.
It's not my gifting. But I shouldn't be fearful of achieving what God has given me the ability to do. And so a lot of times as leaders, it's our job to help bring people out and use metaphorically the fan to blow away the fog that is fear. You know, once you blow it away, once you put sunshine on it, a lot of people's fears are irrational and their fears is because nobody ever told them how great they were.
Yeah. So it's leading from a place of bringing out the best in people and allowing them to find their sweet spot and to achieve things that they know are deep inside of them, compared to squelching all that and moving people towards some kind of default that feels like a safe place. And one of the illustrations to me that is a great descriptor of a fear-based environment is when no one's taking risk, when everyone is protecting themselves, no one is willing to do anything that's outside the box, and your whole mentality as an employee is show up, don't say anything, stay as much out of the limelight as you can, and don't rock the boat. Most of the time, that's a fear-based environment.
Yep.
Is when I'm just showing up going, I'm going to try my best to not have anyone notice me today. Because if I get noticed, then all of a sudden that means that I'm a target. I'm going to get suppressed in some form or fashion. Compared to a place that, whatever the opposite of that is, which is I am taking risk. I'm willing to confront things. I'm willing to push into the places where there are problems. I'm finding new opportunities. I want to take risk. I want to be willing to fail, but failing forward. Those are two different mentalities. And any kind of type A, ambitious, driven leader is, like you said, Ron, you didn't want to be in that environment.
No.
As soon as possible, get me out of here. Yep. I want to go into a place where I'm free to pursue things and push out. But reality is a lot of leaders, once they get into a place of power, they move into a protectionist mentality, which is, this is mine, and I'm going to protect it at all cost, which means that I will suppress you at all costs, and I will push you down in order to protect what I have. And that is a fear-based organization. You are driving and leading people from fear at that point.
And it's going to be a failure-based organization, because yeah. There's no history of organizations succeeding that are led that way, or men and women succeeding that lead that way. Wars are created because of that.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of, we have to create an enemy and somebody to fear, to motivate people. But in the end, it's just not sustainable.
Is there an industry that represents fear-driven or fear-based type leadership more than others that you see or that you've noticed? Or?
Yeah, I don't know.
Bria's saying athletics is a big one. So is it arguable that a lot of coaches would institute a fear-based leadership style?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was, Vince Lombardi, who's famously considered one of the great coaches of all times, is, you're either fired with enthusiasm or you're fired with enthusiasm. And yeah. He meant it. It wasn't a cliche. He meant that. And you get, particularly at the professional level,
yeah,
where one person's opinion is the difference between, in some cases, tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly that's a
You have a coach like Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors, two out of the three last year's world champions in the NBA. And he would be, it seems like, I don't know Steve Kerr, but just based on what we're seeing and what it seems to be the culture he's creating, that's a culture of empowerment.
Greg Popovich, same way.
Greg Popovich, yes. Even though Greg Popovich is a little old school, he still has created a culture of empowerment. So there doesn't seem to be as many, at least as there used to be,
right,
that would be described as the fear-based kinds of leaders who are coaches that, it's my way or the highway, and if you don't like the way I'm doing it, you can leave. And I think empowerment, to me, is one of those words that is a distinguisher of the kind of organizations that are leaning into not being a fear-based culture.
Well, I think the access to information is critical to that, too. What you could do in relative privacy a few years ago in your management shows up on Glassdoor today. It's on the internet. Hey, don't come to work for this company. This focus on engaged organizations, those are all private surveys. So, when our team takes a survey for Outside Magazine, which, ranks us in the top five organizations in the country to work for, there's a time there that the employees can be very honest, because it's asking about your leader, about the leadership and the organization. And if you don't do that well, you're not going to show up on those lists. And it's going to come out that the thing that's holding the organization back is that leader who's bringing fear and distrust in it. And I think that's the other handmaiden to fear, is creating distrust and animosity amongst
Definitely.
Employees and teams.
Pitting them against each other.
Yeah. And I think Dave Ramsey famously has this no gossip rule in any of his companies. And it isn't that, hey, talking about things is bad. It's the distrust, the animosity, the fear that that culture creates that he says, I'm not going to let that cancer in my house. And I think those are the things that good leaders have to acknowledge and address. And it's easy enough to do. You just got to be willing to acknowledge what people already know and that you're not perfect.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good. What's the practical side if I'm working for a leader who is developing and building and has developed and built a fear-based culture? How do I lead up to help them potentially change that?
It's interesting. I had that conversation just last week with a podcast listener who had come in and listened to the podcast, who had been to Catalyst University and said, hey, can I come talk to you? I mean, actually gave me a Yeti cup. That was part of his thing. If you'll let me come talk to you, I will bring you a new Yeti.
Nothing wrong with that.
Cup. You know, I like it. It's blue. It's like really great.
You're drinking out of it right now.
I am.
And it's keeping your drink
icy cold.
Icy cold.
Which might be why I need the blanket.
It is. Yeah.
But, you know, he was telling me that he has this boss who's condescending and fearful and creating this maximum anxiety. And how did he change the boss? And I said, well, is this a new thing or is this? He said, oh, no, it's the culture of the organization. And I said, well, you can't. You have a choice. You can either learn to live with it. Do you believe that the organization will thrive if you stay on board? And he said, oh, no, no, we're losing customers. We're losing great people or leaving the organization. I said, well, then your plan has to get out because you don't have enough power to have that leader change. You can go to that person. You don't have any personal influence with them. So all they're going to do is decide when you're going to leave. It isn't. So you've got to go find a different organization to serve in. And I, you know, he has been with the organization a number of years, but bad leaders, by and large, don't change. It's a bit like I have a friend who's a heart surgeon. I said, you know, what's the hardest part about your job? I thought he was going to say, you know, 8-hour surgeries and standing on my feet or dealing with the bureaucracy of medicine. He said, oh, no, the hardest part is everybody who comes in tells me they're going to change their lifestyle. And they all do for 90 days. And then 90 days later, I'll see them and they're back to the same lifestyle they had before. That's what fearful leaders are. They may change their leadership style short term because they get scared, because somebody confronts them. They realize that. But most of the time, it's like that heart patient doesn't change your lifestyle. They're not going to change your leadership.
Yeah. Well, that's both sobering news as well as reality, that if you're in that place, the best thing ultimately may be for you to move on to another culture, another organization. And reality is it's you don't have to put up with it. A lot of us for a long time would have just said, well, it's just the way it is. And I'm now going to default to creating as least resistance as possible in order to live my life and get to the weekend.
Yep.
And get to vacation and hopefully get to retirement as soon as you can. And don't put up with that. Like, that's not a good reality to live in. If you're in that place where you've got a culture and a leader and leaders who are creating toxic environments because of fear, try as best you can to change it. But as Ron just said, the best thing may be to just move on and go somewhere else.
Your life's
sobering news from the Always Forward Leadership podcast.
Life is too long and too important to be stuck in a place where you can't grow impact and influence. We're at a time in our history as a nation here in the United States where we have all-time low unemployment, and that's going to continue. That trend is going to continue because of the retirement of the baby boomers. So use this time to play in your greatness and your strengths, not going to work every day miserable. You deserve better than that.
And young leaders won't put up with it.
No. That's,
they'll move on because they realize there's choices and options.
Yep. Just like they have the option every week whether to join us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.